Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, and welcome to Golf Talk Live. I'm your host, Ted Oderico, and actually, welcome back. It's been a few weeks since I've been on the air, and I'll explain a little bit about that in just a second here, but I'm glad that you're joining me here tonight. It's October the 9th, and we're here on blogtalkradio.com, and of course, we're live on the air. Anytime during the broadcast, we'll be broadcasting from 6 to 8 p.m. Central Standard Time, and if you want to broadcast or contact the program live, you can do so by calling in at area code 646-716-4667, or you can email questions or comments to the program if you want to ted.golftalklive@gmail.com. And I'll get some of the other social media updates as well just here in just a second. But took a few weeks off. I was feeling a little bit under the weather a little while back and just needed to get some well-deserved rest and relaxation here the last month. So I took a few weeks off from the program, also from the ladies program a little bit. I did do one or two episodes with Lindy back in September, but sort of laid low here for just a little bit. So I appreciate you hanging tight and coming back and joining me this evening. As I mentioned, you can also follow on some social media. You can follow on Facebook. Visit Facebook page at facebook.com/golftalklive blog. Make sure you have blog on the end of that. And when you're there, make sure you like the page as well. You can also follow me on Twitter at TedNBuckCEO. That's my handle on Twitter. That's TedNBuckCEO caps. And, of course, you can always check out the website at www.golftalkliveblog.com. As I said, welcome back to the program, Golf Talk Live. I appreciate you tuning in each and every week. And said off for a little couple of weeks there, actually even more than a couple of weeks, but certainly back now. And just to let you know who's going to be on the program tonight, going to be joining me here in just a moment, is going to be David Keller, and he is from Arizona. He works in the golf profession, but he's also the creator, if you will, of a product that we're going to talk a little bit about tonight called True Aim, thing tool, and very simple product, but certainly delivers on its message. So talk to him a little bit about that in a second and his thoughts on new things in recent golf news. But later in the broadcast as well, joined by, of course, Brian Dobby, a PGA teacher professional at the Montclair Golf Club up in West Orange, New Jersey, a little bit later on. And we're going to talk about an interesting marketing prospect, if you will, that he's been wanting to talk about with the audience called sendoutcards.com. So he's going to be coming on talking about that. And then I'm going to ask him a couple of questions about the recent Ryder Cup, get his thoughts and inputs on that. We're going to maybe see if we can put some thoughts together and help a few of the listeners out there with their golf game. But anyways, thanks for joining in the program. And I'm just going to wait here for a few minutes. David should be calling in shortly here in the program. And looking forward to talking to him a little bit. And just tell you about this putting tool. It's quite interesting, actually. It's very, very simple, as I said. Not a lot of difficulty in using it, and I'll get him to explain a little bit more about that. But as I said, it's a very simple approach to really helping line up your putts. And there are a lot of club golfers out there, especially, still have difficult time on aiming their putts where they need to go. So this is a little training aid, very inexpensive, very easy to carry around with you wherever you go and travel or to your local course. And as I said, very inexpensive, so it's not going to break the bank. So you want to make sure that you tune in for that. Some of the things, just let me update you on some of the things that I'm going to be doing here in the next little while. As I mentioned to you before, I've been working very closely with Jonathan Laird, of the editor of and owner of South Coast Golf Guide. And it's a publication here in the southeastern part of the United States that really covers a myriad of courses from pretty much over from Texas all the way over to here in Florida in the Emerald Coast. And a lot of great courses in there. And I've had a few people on the program already. I got some more coming up. In fact, next week I think I've got another gentleman from one of the local courses coming on to talk about that. And so some of the things that we're going to be doing here is getting more of them coming on here and talking about some of the great golf courses here in the southeastern part of the United States, especially as we wind out the regular season for some of the northeast courses, not as they're starting to wind down their seasons. A lot of people will be venturing down here into Florida and other parts here in the southeast. So certainly great to get a copy of this guide. You can go to southcoastgolfguide.com and get a little hands-on on a copy there and find out how you can get one. Or if you're already down here in the south, and whether it be Florida or Georgia, Alabama, so forth, you can visit most of your local pro shops, and or I believe some of the Edwin Watts as well are also carrying them. You can get a copy there of the guide as well. Make sure that when you're on Facebook that you go in and check out South Coast Golf Guide and make sure you like their page as well. Jonathan has a great publication, been doing it now. This, I believe, is his 20th year this year, and he's doing a lot of great things with the publication and look to expand even further as the time goes on. So always glad to have for my support there. One of the other things I talked about several weeks ago, one of the things I was going to do is you noticed, I'm sure, since I've been off the air and even just prior to stop doing some of the Coach's Corner, sort of revamping that a little bit. I've got some ideas that I want to do with that to make it a little bit more exciting, a little bit more fun for the listeners out there. And I think probably what I'm going to do, I may have one or two more before this year ends, but I think I may hold off and restart that back up in the new year in preparation for a new season. So I'm working on some of those and also working on some things, a little more traveling myself on location and doing some of the broadcasts from around here in the United States. And hopefully abroad, but working on some deals right now. So as things sort of unfold, I'll certainly keep everybody posted. But a lot of exciting things will be happening in 2015 with the program. I'm excited, looking forward to working with the partners that are going to be coming in on with me and helping expand this program. As I said many times before, the broadcast, obviously via the internet, goes anywhere in the world. Get literally listeners tuning in from all parts of the world, from China right through to South America and, of course, up and to Canada and beyond. So certainly appreciate all the worldwide listeners for tuning into the program. The audience continues to grow every week, and certainly thankful for all of your support and well wishes. And thanks for all of the people on Facebook who have been following me here for the last little while. I believe David is here, so let me bring David on, and we'll talk a little bit of golf and find out a little bit more about Train Your Aim.
Hi,
good evening, David.
David, how are you?
I'm doing well. Welcome to Golf Talk Live, David.
Delighted to be here.
David, just before we talk a little bit about your product that we're going to discuss tonight, why don't you just tell the listeners a little bit about yourself, a little bit about your background, and what you do besides create some great products?
Well, I was brought up in the UK on terrible greens, so that's led to my the bumpiest greens I ever knew. But I've been playing golf for about 45 years. I now live in Scottsdale, Arizona for the past 10 years, putting on beautiful some bent grass greens up in the north part of Scottsdale, and some not so great Bermuda in the summer, but still, you know, beautiful, beautiful golf courses over in here in Arizona. And as I said, came here 10 years ago, had a different career in the UK. I was in the legal field in the UK, and then I came here and I said I never wanted to do anything with law again, and found a career in hospitality and customer service, which is alien to you know, to someone who's been in the law for about 25 years. But it's all been good stuff, and you know, just playing a lot of golf, and you know, one day wanted to sort out my putting, so I came up with this idea called Train Your Aim.
Yeah, and exactly, and just to let the listeners know, David sent me out a couple of samples a few weeks ago now, and I've managed to go out to the course and work with a little bit, and I got to tell you, you know, David, you and I talked on the phone leading up to the show tonight, and talked sure. about really the simplicity of the product itself. It's a very simple but yet effective design. So let's talk about a little bit first how you came up with the idea of Train Your Aim, and sort of how you put that all together.
Sure, Chad. Well, what happened is, you know, putters, they've got various lines either on the top of the putter face or at the rear of the putter. And to be honest, always had trouble kind of lining that up to the line. I know that sounds silly, but because it's behind and you're looking if you're right-handed, all the lines are going to the right and your actual line is to your left. And I just could never line it up that well. And also I think it affects your putting stroke. I think that's part of the reason you come out of your putting stroke, because you got everything behind the ball and nothing ahead. So I was driving to work one Monday morning. I had a pretty average day on the greens the weekend before, and I was thinking, and this thing just popped in my head that I needed, and players need an arrow to guide them to the target line. And how are you going to achieve that with a putter that, everything's at the back? So it came to me, something needs to clip to the putter shaft and with an arrow that allows you to have a pointer system pointing towards your target line on the green, or if it's a short putt, the hole. But if you've got a long putt, it might be a speck on the green that you might want to aim at to get the right line. And we all have dreams and ideas, and unfortunately, well, for me, normally they leave your mind within 2 or 3 minutes of thinking of it. But
yeah.
This actually stayed with me until I got to my office and I drew it out on a post-it note. And I thought, actually, this is going to work. And I went home that night after work and found a ferrule, an old ferrule that goes on the shaft. I cut a little bit out so it would clip on and off, and I literally glued two pieces of balsa wood, lightweight wood, onto this plastic ferrule, let it set overnight, and the next day I tried it, and it really did work. It went beyond just lining up. It actually improved the putting stroke, because now you had something to take you through to the target. And,
right.
it's been quite amazing.
Well, one of the things, David, that I found interesting about, and as I said, I've had it for a couple of weeks now, and I've been out to the range and working obviously on my game in general, but I wanted to try this out just to give it a good run. And you're exactly right. One of the things that I liked about it, and I like things, and as I mentioned to you on the phone before, I like things that are very simple. I don't like to
right.
There's a lot of great training aids out in the market for all different areas of the game, but some of them are very cumbersome. Some of them are very there's a lot of moving parts and things like this. Is a very simple thing. It clips onto your shaft, as you indicated, and it works basically lining an arrow towards your target. And as you indicated in the beginning, most of your putters that I've seen on the market, certainly the ones that are legal, everything is sort of drawn to the right of the shaft. So your eyes tend to draw to the right in order to line up the golf ball to your target. So you really don't have anything to give you a true line. You're sort of guessing at it. And what I like about this is that the frame tool that you not only goes to the right, but also aligns to the left towards the target. So it gives you a more true putting line, if you will, towards that target. And as I said, it's a very simple process, but it is very effective.
Absolutely. And I think there's two other things that I'll mention. One is it's extremely lightweight. I don't know if you noticed, Ed, you don't notice it on your putter. You know, it doesn't affect the weight of a putter. The other thing, it's adjustable. So you can move it if it's a center shafted putter that you have, you can move it, the pointer right down to the shaft and obviously move it up and down the line of the putter so you can get your eyes over the ball. And the other thing is that it just being bright orange as well, it
right.
kind of it leads you to the hole or the target.
Yeah.
Very
yeah. Let
simple.
Me just to let the folks know, because obviously we're doing an audio program here, so visually the only thing they're going to see is if they're online right now, they can certainly visit your site and so forth. But I've put up the photos that you sent me, some of the images. So for those of you that are online right now that are following along with the program, there's some images that will pop up that you'll see to give you an idea of what it looks like. And otherwise, after the program, we'll give you the information and where you can go and find out more, of course. But let me say this, and David, you can sort of walk through the process, if you will, of how you where you want that arrow to be in a sense in relation to the ball and also on your putter. So talk about when somebody's first attaching it to their shaft, what they need to do and how they need to make sure it's setting up properly to give them an accurate read.
Okay, well it's basically a cross with a clip at one end, and you clip it onto the putter, and there's one line runs parallel, I think you call it, parallel with the putter face. And
right.
then the pointer runs at a 90-degree angle. So the part that is parallel, you line up with your putter face. And to assist you to get an accurate 90-degree angle, I suggest you start with maybe 12-inch putts, three or four 12-inch putts, standing 12 inches from the hole and just rolling the ball in from a very short distance, and that will get your pointer aligned within, as I say, a couple of putts. And then it's up to the player themselves where they would like to have the pointer. Do they want it, so their eyes are over the ball? I mean, we all hold. I don't suggest this is a way to necessarily have somebody holding the putter correctly. It really is there to assist them to line up however they do hold the putter. So some people have their eyes over the ball, some have it, some don't. I don't suggest
Right.
you necessarily have to change your putting stroke to use the putting aid, train your aim. But you would align it so really it's over the middle of the club as you are looking at it and where you put
Right.
the ball. And really, once you've lined it up accurately from 12 inches, it will stay in that position throughout your putting session.
Right.
So you don't.
Now,
it's not like one of the. Yeah, go ahead.
No, go ahead. Go ahead, finish, David.
No, what I was going to say is it's not like one of those anything that you have to put on the putting surface, and every time you change where you're going to putt from, you have to pick up and place it on the ground and line that up. It's already on the putter shaft and it's already lined up. So wherever you drop your ball to putt from, you're immediately in position to have it lined up to the target.
Right, and that's a very valid point, because I've seen some of the other and certainly we're not here to knock any other products that are out there. There's a lot of great products, but you're right. There are many other putting tools that are on the market right now that you have to physically place on the ground, and then you sort of hover your putter over top of that, and it certainly will give you a similar result. But the difference is you have to move that each time, whereas your product, because it is actually attached to the putter, moves with the device, moves with your club all the time. So the thing I also liked about it, David, that was interesting. And I didn't really think about this when we first talked, but a lot of people might be thinking, well, that's great if I'm wanting to aim directly at the hole, but what about a breaking putt? Well, what this really I noticed what helped me to do is, doing a few practice putts, I kind of got the slope of the green and roughly knew where the break was going to happen. I could use that tool then to aim where I wanted the break, where the break was going to start. So in other words, I'm not using it now to aim directly at the hole, but I'm using it to train my eye to aim where the ball is going to break, and then, of course, feed into the hole once it takes that break. So, it further helps you align putts that way as well.
Absolutely, absolutely. And therefore, if you have a 30-footer, which very rarely you're going to have a flat putt,
yeah,
you can pick out the spot where you want to aim, and the arrow will guide you to that right target, the right target line.
Right.
I try to emphasize that on the website as well, that it's not just the hole, it's the target line that you're trying to roll the ball to.
Right. And you know, what's different about this as well, David, as I said, and I don't mean to be overemphasizing this, but it is very simple in its process and in its application, which I like, because I think there's a lot of devices on the market, as I said, not just for putting, but others that kind of overcomplicate the process. The other thing, too, is what was nice about this is if I was somebody that was traveling a lot and I wanted to maybe play some golf on vacation, I can take this with me. It's not going to take up a lot. I don't have to fold it in half, and it's going to very easily fit in a golf bag or even a travel bag somewhere. It's not cumbersome. It's not heavy at all. And I can take it with me on the road if I'm doing some traveling. So it's a great little device to have. And, of course, the best part, very inexpensive. David, tell them how much they can get their hot little hands on for.
$9.99 gets you one train your aim, a little bit of postage and packaging. But basically it's $9.99, which is a lot cheaper than buying a new putter.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
And the whole idea, Ted, was that A, it was simple to use, and B, inexpensive, because it can be an expensive game, and I didn't want to make it, you know, expensive and complicated. I wanted to try and make it simple, and to do that, inexpensive and simple.
Exactly right. And there are so many, as I said, there's so many products on the market that will, you know, help at various parts of your game. And I think one of the problems that a lot of golfers are finding now, and this has been going on now for several years, is it is an expensive game to begin with compared to some of the others out there. But now when you've got to start adding up all of these different tools and products to sort of help with your game, it can get even more expensive. So it's refreshing to see somebody come out with a product that is certainly can be effective, is lightweight, easy to carry and travel with if need be, but it's also very inexpensive. So when you add all those things up together, it's very well priced to be on the market, and very very accessible to get as well, and very easy to use, which I certainly am all for, and certainly glad to endorse that for you, David.
I appreciate it. One other thing, Ted, it works great with chipping and pitching as well. Pitch and run, you know, you might want to take a 7-iron just off the green, or, you know, you got a 9-iron or whatever just off the green, you want to run it up. It attaches to irons, and it again helps with, you know, a lot of people decelerate through the chip, and that's why they duff it, for want of a better word. But with the arrow on it, it's maintaining that acceleration through the shot. And it really works well with the little pitch and runs, chip and runs.
Yeah. Traditionally, David, you've obviously had some people that have been using the product, Nat. You know, obviously everybody is different. But I'm sure by now you've had some feedback from it, Nat, as far as you know, those that have used it. What is some of the more common feedback that you're getting on the product? And give it, I mean, I know you can't give an exact time frame, but obviously some people have found success with it very early on. Some are going to take a little bit longer than others, depending on their abilities to begin with. But to sort of typically, what is some of the response that you're getting back from it?
Well, I think the response is some higher handicaps who have really struggled, who I've played with, some friends of mine who have used it, and I stood with them on a putting green, and, you know, I wouldn't like to say, you know, average putters, they were missing, you know, a foot to the right, a foot to the left, or coming up short. And what I found with them and their feedback is that they're getting it online. Their putting stroke is becoming smoother and more repetitive, mm-hmm. because it's because of the arrow. And as I said, originally I didn't think of it about that, but it's keeping people's heads down. Yeah, the players, the putter's head is remaining down, and not, as we all do with particularly short putts, come out of the putt. You know, your shoulder comes up, your head comes up, and you end up blocking it right or tugging it left. And what they're saying is that it's really maintaining their head down and maintaining the putting stroke towards the target. I've also a friend of mine, a longtime friend from years ago, his name's Phil Golding. He actually is a PGA pro on the European Tour, and he won the French Open de France, as I say. I'm sure there's a better French pronunciation than that, but the French Open in 2003. And anyway, I sent him one about 4 or 5 weeks ago, and he took it with him, and he played in the now plays on the European Senior Tour, and he came runner-up with Bernard Langer. The following week, he won in France again, and he was using Train Your Aim. And, you know, he was saying it keeps your head down. It's a bit of a memory thing, because when you've used it on the putting green a few times, you actually get on the course and you kind of try and imagine this little cross pointer on the putter. And it just helps you keep the momentum going through the putts and not stopping, which we all, as I said, we tend to recoil or whatever we do when we have the short putts in particular.
Right. One of the things that I did was kind of interesting, because I remember you said that to me on the phone when we were talking there a few weeks back. So what I did the first weekend after I received it, I went up to the driving range, of course, and got on the putting green and hit a few putts with it attached. And probably did that for about 10 or 15 minutes. And then I was curious. I thought, well, I want to see if this is really true, what David was telling me. And I unclipped it and set it off to the side. And it was almost, and I don't know whether it's because of the coloring, the orange that sort of just burns into your retina of your eye or something, but I could visualize it on there as well. And it did actually give me some feedback without it actually being attached to the shaft of the putter. So, you know, obviously that's not going to last, you know, after a few minutes for the rest of your life. But with a short, you know, putting session before your round, you're going to train yourself, as you said, to imagine that that's still on there, and it's going to help with a visual throughout putting in your round.
Absolutely. It is quite amazing. I don't know if I'm imagining it, but you definitely have that, you know, if you think about it, let's think of that arrow, and boom, it's kind of embedded in your mind for the round.
Exactly.
Which is what golf's all about, trying to, you know, a lot of memory.
Yeah.
Trying to remember how you hit the last season's shot.
unfortunately, as the older we get, that memory gets a little shorter and shorter. So anything that can help along the way is, I'm all for it. David, certainly a great product, and I'm glad that you came on here to share it. Let's tell the folks, of course, where they can get their hot little hands on. Let's tell them your website, of course, and and how they can go about getting themselves one.
It's www.trainyouraim.com, and it's $9.99, and you can pay with any card through PayPal. Alternatively, there is my address there if you wanted to send a check. But basically, it's a simple process, about 13, you know, with packaging, $13 odd, and it will be in your hands in a couple of days' time.
And that's fantastic. And also, you know, for those that want to, we got Christmas rolling around the corner here in just a few months. Make a great little Christmas gift for that golfer. So visit
Perfect.
David's website, www.trainyouraim.com, and pick up, well, you're picking up one for yourself, maybe pick one up for a buddy there, and help him with his game in the new year. And great
Absolutely.
Christmas gift. And David, thanks for coming on. Sure. Let me just take a moment, David, if we can, before I let you go. Because I know you've got other things to attend to, but I want to get your thoughts just a few minutes. I'm going to be talking a little bit later in the program about this, so I hope you'll hang around and listen in. But your thoughts on the Ryder Cup?
Oh, you know, being a limey, a European, an Englishman, you know, you know, growing up, I'm 50 odd years old, and I remember the times when, you know, we had Brian Barnes, I don't know if you remember Brian Barnes. He used to walk around with a pint in his hand and a pipe, smoking a pipe, and had a pint of beer in his hand playing on the Ryder Cup, and we had all these great players, but they were no competition for the likes of Nicholas Watson and Joshua Palmer, etc. it's just amazing how it has turned around. And I just, whether the English golfers, I should say the European golfers are better golfers than the Americans, I don't believe that. I think there's more team work and team building that has created this bond and desire to win. And I, you know, they're all wonderful golfers. You see the golf that is played. It's amazing to watch. Shots are holed out from all sides. I think it's just teamwork and, this team bonding and something that hasn't quite caught on the American team. I might be completely wrong, but, I'm no expert on it, but something is there.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's part of it. Now, I'm going to talk a little bit more in a little bit later in the show when Brian comes on. I have a couple of questions for him as well, but so I don't want to sort of duplicate it.
Right.
You know, I certainly agree. I think that that's part of it. Do you think that maybe some of the reason that happens is that the a lot of the players in Europe tend to be a little bit closer to one another as far as not just teammates, but also you know, they tend to have a more of a bond throughout the year when they're playing on the European Tour, where here over in the United States, not saying that the Europeans don't, but there seems to be more camaraderie, if you will, among the players over in Europe than there seems to be here. Would you agree with that?
I absolutely do agree. I think, I don't know if it's something to do with, I don't know if the ages are closer. I don't know if there's just more of a common bond. I don't think there's the individualism that is, you know, Americans are, you know, I don't, a little bit more maybe individual than they are regarding the team. You know, I think it's all about, you know, the Europeans are very determined to win. I think it might have been an inferiority complex for the Europeans as well for many years because they were, you know, they were, as we say in England, slaughtered every time they played in the Ryder Cup. And then suddenly we had a great team with Woosnam and Faldo and Lyle and that and Seve Ballesteros. And suddenly that changed things. And now, you know, they're determined to prove that they are equal to the Americans. Because the American Tour for, you know, 50 years was by far the greatest tour on the planet. And now, you know, there's the European Tour is not as far behind as it ever was.
Yeah,
you know,
I agree.
To the 70s.
Right, I agree with that. I think that what's been happening over the last few decades particularly is that the caliber of player outside of the U.S. Has risen its own bar, if you will. I mean, there's so many global players now that are of such a high caliber where you didn't have that in the you know, 70s and even in the 80s. And it wasn't really until probably the late 90s when of course, Tiger came on the scene and really sort of jump-started a lot of passion, interest on a global scale with a lot of players. And I think now you're seeing a lot of the younger guns coming up. But I also give credit to people, you know, to players like Seve Ballesteros. He had a lot of fire and a lot of passion in his heart when he captained the Ryder Cups and really seemed to pull the teams together. A lot of people, you know, that were on those teams didn't just play for themselves. They were pulling there for Seve. They knew how much this and important this was to Seve. And they were doing it for him as much as they were for themselves. So I think that was something, too, that sort of, you know, added to it as well.
I think so. And you know, there was – Tom Watson's a wonderful, wonderful player. Do you think there was too much of an age gap between Tom, who, you know, what is he, in his mid-60s, and these guys who are 20-year-olds and 30-year-olds. McGinley, I think, is in his late 40s. I mean, I don't, and maybe they can relate to some of these guys more than they can relate to Paul Azinger. Well, you know, what was he, in his mid-40s when he captained the team? Maybe there was too much of an age gap that you know, a different era, you know.
Yeah,
Tom Watson played.
And I think the other thing, too, that and this is something that I've thought about since the Ryder Cup, here in the last, last week. One of the things that I think, and this is certainly not to knock, you know, Tom or Nicholas or any of the other players. I mean, age, I'm sure, is a factor to some degree. But I think when you're playing in a team format, It's one thing to have the knowledge and the expertise in the game. I mean, in other words, you know, Tom and Jack and some of the other ones that have played or that have, you know, either captained the American teams and so forth, Hal Sutton was another one, might be fantastic players, but they may not necessarily be great leaders. And you have to be a great leader. It's the same as in a company. You might have a great employee, but that person may not be qualified and may not have what it takes in order to be the CEO of that company. Great employee, great worker, but they may not have the skills necessary to motivate the team and the employees. And I think this may be a problem that the Americans have had here in the last few years and why they've not done as well. Just a theory. I don't know if it's true or not, but something that I think needs to take a closer look at, because certainly Tom Watson has won several majors. Jack Nicklaus, of course, we know his career, not knocking their playing ability, but maybe they don't have what it takes on a personal level to be a good leader or an effective leader in that capacity. And that may be something that's falling short, and that could be part of the reason why the Americans haven't done as well in the last few Ryder Cups.
That's quite possibly true. I think one other thing is that I was my experience of playing in the UK and across, not I haven't played across Europe, but particularly the UK players, we always played a lot of match play. We grew up with match play. You would go out and play with your friends, and you'd have a match. You know, it didn't have to be for anything. It might be for a golf ball. It might be for a beer afterwards. You know, we're not talking large sums of money or anything. Or just for the fact that we would go out and you'd play match play. And I think there's an understanding of that. And we also played a lot of foursomes, which is the hardest form of golf, what we call here alternate shots. But in England, we played a lot of that style golf. You'd have monthly tournaments at your local golf club where you play every other shot. And the key to that is, A, getting on well with the chap that you're playing with. And, you know, if you hit a bad shot, you don't have to say sorry. Or he hits a bad shot, you don't have to get frustrated. It's not an easy game to play. And I know the U.S. have always kind of struggled in that, because I think that's kind of alien to the U.S. You know, we don't play that kind of game here. I've never seen it played. We all go out and have four balls, and they don't play it at college. And I just think, you know, being used to that format goes a long way. And getting the balance of who, you know, the captain getting the balance of, you know, X is going to play with Y. And the reason they're playing together is more of a bit more of chemistry than, you know, because they're all wonderful golfers, aren't they? You know, I mean, there's no one golfer there that isn't a fabulous golfer.
Right. Yeah. And that's the thing. Yeah. And that's the thing. And it boils down really to the mental side as well. And just to further the point, you know, obviously the guys that are playing on both teams certainly have the physical ability to play on a team such as the Ryder Cup. But mentally, they may not have Europeans may have an advantage, as you've just indicated, with sort of that camaraderie and that that sort of togetherness, if you will, where the Americans don't seem to have that and have, certainly have been lacking that. And I think one of the reasons why, you know, people say, well, you know, they won for so many years and Europe was sort of always lagging behind. But that part of that, I think, goes back to an earlier point that you said, to the fact that for a long time, the American players were very dominant worldwide. But now there's more of a global capacity, the others are sort of catching up. So now there's much more competition. So it's not just a matter of being a dominant player anymore. Now you've got players who are standing toe to toe with, say, somebody that of a Watson's caliber or a Nicklaus caliber in today's golf.
That's right.
So
that's
now
right.
You have to. Now you have to bring in the mental capacity, but you also have to bring in, you have to know your teammates and not just what you see on the golf course. You've got to know them almost on an intimate level. You've got to be friendly with them. And I think this is something that's given an advantage. And I think this is where a lot of the captaincy on the European side has been very successful in accomplishing that.
Absolutely. And one other thing I was just thinking of while you were saying about a camaraderie, you know, in the UK, I mean, we'd go and play golf, and it was a day event. You'd get there, you'd go and play your round of golf, and afterwards you'd all go in the bar, And I'm not being funny, you'd have a drink or two, but it, you know, you chat about the round, the golf, and you'd laugh, and this one had three putt, and that, and you'd tell them about your round. And but here I find that you go to the golf course, and there's camaraderie, and I think that's what the Europeans have, that camaraderie. They'll go and have a drink together or maybe a meal together afterwards. When I think here, when you play golf, you go to the course, you play your 18 holes, you invariably you throw your, you know, afterwards you throw your bag in the back of the car, you put your shoes on, and away you leave. And we don't. Yeah. I mean, maybe that's Arizona golf, the rest of the country.
Right.
But I think there's more camaraderie I think that's how camaraderie starts with the European thing. I might be completely wrong, but
no, I think you're right. I think that golf has become such a rush now in, you know, getting the round played and getting off the course that a lot of people don't have time. People are very time restrained right now as it is, so they're lucky even to get out and play 18 holes. So to sit around for an hour or two after, and certainly there are evidence that people do that, maybe more so if they're on vacation or on a golf trip with buddies. But on a weekly basis, most people don't have a lot of time. They've got family obligations and so forth. Where I think in Europe, they've sort of gotten it down where, like you said, it's a day event. They're going out, this is my golf day, I'm going out with my mates, and we're going to have a good time today. So it's not like I've got to rush home and there's something pressing at home. Otherwise,
That's
they're
right.
not going out. So... But David, listen. I want to thank you for coming on the program tonight. I appreciate
you
sharing.
Thanks for having me.
And a great product, of course. David Keller is my guest. We talked here a little bit about his product that you can get your hot little hands on. It's called Train Your Aim, and you can get your hands on one at www.trainyouraim.com. I'm sure David would love for you to get one and try it out and help your game, especially your putting game. But as he said, you can also use it for some of the chips as well, some of the longer chips around the green, and make a great Christmas gift for that golfer in your family. So appreciate it, David, for coming on the program and throwing a few thoughts in about the Ryder Cup as well.
Thank you ever so much for having me on. I really appreciate it, Ted.
Not a problem. David, you take care, and I'll be in touch with you soon about some other things I wanted to talk to you about anyways, but appreciate you coming on the program tonight and sharing Train Your Aim with my audience.
It's a pleasure. Look forward to hearing from you, Ted.
Okay, thanks, David. Okay, that was David Keller, of course, creator of Train Your Aim, and again, just quickly, I'll read out the website. It's www.trainyouraim.com. Strongly suggest that you go and pick yourself up one. It's just retails for $9.99, plus, of course, applicable taxes and shipping and that. But well worth the price, and certainly get out there. And it's a great product. One nice thing about it is because it's geared for your putter, you can practice for those of you in the Northeast that are going to be snowed out here in a few months. Great little product to have. You can practice it and roll some putts in your carpet, and just a little target at the end there, and it'll help keep you lined up. But want to thank David for coming on the program. Of course, my next guest is Brian Dobby. Brian's been on the show a number of times before, both as an individual guest, but also he's been on the Coach's Corner a few times. He's a PGA teacher professional up at the Montclair Golf Club in West Orange, New Jersey, and he's here to talk about sendoutcards.com. It's a new service, if you will, and product that he's been using for some time and wants to talk and share with the audience here. And then we're going to talk a little bit of golf as well. But let me bring Brian on the show. Good evening, Brian, and welcome to Golf Talk Live.
Ted, how are you? Great to hear you again. Thanks for having me on the show.
Not a problem, Brian. Always a pleasure to have you on, and I imagine it's getting a little cooler up in New Jersey these days.
Well, Ted, it is. You know, fall kicking in, and, it's actually a beautiful time of year up here with all the leaves changing color, but, it reminds me that winter is right around the corner. So, but we had a great summer. We had great weather up here, and it's, we still got golfers, so it's still busy, so we're doing all right, though.
Yeah, that's the one thing about golf you can always count on until the snow actually starts to fly. And even then, you still get the odd golfer who's going to be out there and trying to get those last few rounds in before this. So you still got plenty of golf left, and I'm sure most of the leaves have been changing, so I'm sure it's quite beautiful up in your neck of the woods right now. But as I was just mentioning to the audience, of course, Brian, you've been on the show a number of times, both as a guest, but also you've been on the Coach's Corner and that, And I'm going to talk a little bit about that a little bit later on again. But Brian, I know you wanted to come on and talk about something that you've been using for a little while here and help out some of the other teacher professionals, but also just some of the regular listeners out there. So why don't you talk a little bit about sendoutcards.com?
Sure, Ted. Let me start with a little story here. One of the issues that we always had in our section at our PGA meetings was pros getting out thank you cards for tournaments and sponsors and what have you. And, you know, I have to admit I really didn't do a good job in doing it. I knew I should do it, but for lack of having a stamp or a card or my own laziness, I really just didn't do it. Anyway, a friend of mine sent me a card in the mail one day, and I looked at it, and it caught my eye because he added some pictures to it, and I could tell that he created it. And I called him and said, you know, how did you do this? And he told me about this online greeting card company called Send Out Cards.
Right.
So the first thing that came to my mind was, I can go to my computer and create a card and add a picture, and I don't even have to touch the card. I can add my own signature, handwriting, font, or whatever, and I can send it from my computer. And what caught my attention was, this is perfect for me to get these thank you cards out because I knew I needed to do it. So, Ted, anyway, I started using this system, and I just found it so easy to do because it would take me a minute or two to get a card out. So it eliminated a problem for me in thanking people and getting those thank you cards out. And so what happened after that was, because of the picture, being able to add pictures, I started taking pictures of my students. And lo and behold, I would send a card to a student, maybe they had a good round or whatever, just to congratulate them and say hi. And the feedback I got from that card was just incredible. And people would come in and say, thank you so much. That was just great, a great thought, a great gesture. And it started to continue, Ted. So I started taking pictures of our juniors at the club and sending these kids some cards, and the feedback was always positive. So one thing led to the other. I said, wow, this is a really unique system that anyone can benefit from that has relationships with people and stuff. It can benefit. So I started showing other pros in our section this system, Send Out Cards. And there's probably 40 or so pros now in New Jersey using it, and friends I have in other states
right.
are using it. But it's really an incredible tool if you want to connect with your members or just reach out and say thank you. So again, it turned a problem of getting those thank you cards out into something I actually enjoy doing, because now when I'm at a club playing in an event or whatever, I'll take a picture of a signature hole or take a picture of a clubhouse and then actually put that on the front of the card. And it's really unique. So I just love it, Ted, and I'll be glad to talk about it, and if there's anybody out there that's interested, you know, we need to connect and get this out there as best we can.
Right. You know, one of the things that was interesting, and I remember, just to go back for a little bit here, Brian, is I remember when you had been on the show the first time the previous year, I remember you had sent me one of those cards thanking me for coming on the show, And at the time, I mean, as much as I appreciate it, I didn't really connect it at that time to what you're doing now. And I thought about it, you know, since you've asked to come on and talk about this tonight, I'm sitting there thinking to myself, you know, this is something that's really been lost in society. Obviously, everybody is connecting with through social media and computers and things like that. And a lot of times, you know, we'll send a quick thank you, you know, via email or text message or something like that, but it really doesn't have the same sort of personal, stamp, if you will, on it. And you raised a valid point in what you were just talking about here a minute ago. You know, if you're at an event or a function, or you're working with some of your juniors and you snap a few, you know, pictures of them and then send this out to them a little bit later on, obviously it resonates something with them, because they say, hey, this person, you know, not only are they a great teacher and a great pro, but they also took the time to, you know, sort of thank me for not only the business, but for, you know, working with him and so forth. So it really sort of sends a message. It reinforces that relationship, if you will, by showing that individual that you're taking the time to notice that they're important to you as an individual.
Ted, no question. And you know what's funny? Through the years, I've collected thank you cards that people have sent me for the thank you card I sent them. And it's really funny that I get these letters, and I never would have received those before if I didn't start using Send Out Cards. And it's great to receive something from them, too, saying how, you know, nice it made them feel. And Ted, our business
right.
is all about making people feel good. And I think we need to yep. look beyond what we do as pros teaching and stuff. Our business is making people feel good. And if we make them feel good, they're going to come back to us and take lessons and support us. And I think that's what it's all about. And the least I can do to my students through the course of a season is at least say thank you in a new, unique way for them supporting me. And I think it would pay off for anybody and add value to their position
sure.
Because that's important for us. We're supported all year long by our members, and we need to say thank you. And I think that's the message here. Emails are great. Text messages are great. But a lot of these cards I've sent to people, they're not going to throw them out. Because their picture's on it, and it means something more than that text message or email.
Right, which more often than not gets lost in the shuffle anyway. So, but you're exactly right, and something that has to happen, and I've noticed it over the last several years, not just in the golf industry, but in really a lot of industries, and you know, we could list a myriad of companies that fall into this category, but. There really has been a lack of customer service. And really, this is what we're saying here, is a form of customer service. You know, it's great to have business and get new leads and get, in our case, you know, having referrals and things like that. But if we can do something to sort of show our appreciation for not only the business at hand that we're, you know, the lessons that we're teaching with a specific student, but show them that obviously they mean something. It's not just a matter of coming and taking the lesson and then thank you very much you know, we'll talk to you the next time. This way, it's a way of communicating with them off the course as well. They're going to remember that, and they're going to next time, you know, somebody says, well, where are you going or who's helping you with your game, you're going to stand out because they're going to realize you've taken that extra step. And that's something that has lacked not only in general business but in this business, I think, for a long time.
Ted, you're so right, and you know, here's this expression I always used, and I learned. It's called the fortune is in the follow-up, and
yep.
I didn't understand that at first until I started doing this. And the fortune is in the follow-up. You know, you want to follow up with your students, so you get that referral, so you get that extra, that friend taking lessons, and it just goes on, and it's just a great way to connect with people after that initial lesson or tournament or whatever it may be. But yeah, the fortune is in the follow-up, and most people don't follow up. And it's a shame because it's their business that will suffer from that.
Exactly. Because what happens is, and this is really kind of the point I was getting at, I think what's happened, and this we see this all the time with some of these big corporations, and that everybody, you know, their customers have sort of become a number. You know, your ID number, dot, 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 whatever, or your, you know, if you're dealing with a credit card company as an example, your credit card number is essentially your identification with them. And what happens is a lot of time that sort of interpersonal relationship, we see it now with our banks. I mean, where everything's done online now for most people, and you're really not communicating a lot of times with a live person. You're communicating with a machine, and when you do get somebody live, it's very non-personal. So I think that this is something that we can sort of incorporate technology via the computer and other mediums out there, but also still be able to be personable in our relationships with people. So this is a great way because, as you said, this is something that, you know, before, you know, in the old days, you had to sort of write these cards out. Now you can do things through some very sophisticated programming out there that allow you to basically manipulate the card in such a way that you can put some great photos up there. You can put, you know, say whatever you want. So you're not doing a lot of writing. So just to give an example, Brian, on average, how long does it take you to prepare and send one of the cards out?
Typically now, Ted, I can get a card out in a matter of 2-3 minutes. One of the features of the system is being able to save cards that you've already created. So if I have one that I want to use again for a thank you card, it's already in my system. I just create a text box, write my message, or change the message. And once I have my contact manager filled, it's easy to just search for a contact, hit a few buttons, and send it. So within 5 minutes maximum, I can send one card or even 500 cards if I wanted to, and it's called sending a campaign. And I would just list the recipients and create that card for those people. They could all be addressed to each recipient by themselves. It's just so many cool features in it, but I could send 500 cards in a matter of minutes if I wanted to. That's how quick the system is.
And you
mentioned about the future, Ted. You know, this is digital printing at your fingertips.
Yep.
And, you know, with iPhones today, you can take a picture of anything and download it in a matter of minutes and then create a greeting card. And you can even send a gift with a send out card. It's phenomenal what you can do with it.
Well, and there's a multitude, especially in our business, there's a multitude of really applications. A thank you card, of course, in my opinion, is certainly the most important. I think always acknowledging and appreciating the business in hand. But there's also, as you said, you know, when you use the word campaign, especially in your area where, you know, you're slowly winding down, of course, you can follow up with some thank yous to a lot of your members and things like that. But as time moves on, you can really effectively use this for a campaign and get people interested for next season. So as the season progresses, you can do a campaign out to a lot of your contacts and say, you know, it's time to maybe look at booking for next year or what have you. Instead of having to sort of reach out in some of the traditional ways, you can now send a very thoughtful and unique card to these individuals in preparation for 2015.
No question. You know, come springtime, what I'll do is just as a reminder, say March 1st, I'll send out a campaign that I'll be returning to work on this date, looking forward to a new season. And just another reminder that, you know, I'm their pro. Oh, yeah, I take lessons from Brian Dobby and stuff like that. You just want to have another tool to have people remember you and you don't lose contact with them. It's just great. And what's good about it, Ted, is so many people that use the system now, and any send out card user can share contacts and share cards with each other in the system, which is pretty unique. But I find so many creative new ideas from my other friends that are using it that I didn't think of. And that adds value to what I'm doing. Maybe somebody creates a card that I say, wow, I'm going to send that one or use that idea. So it's a great resource that we all pull together now by using this. And there's so many unique ways to utilize it, Ted. It's really great, really good idea.
Yeah, and I can see things like, you know, even events as a reminder for upcoming events and things like that. You can do a short little event card, you know, if you're doing part of some charity work, maybe a charity tournament that's coming up in the spring, you know, you can send out reminder cards to some of the people that are going to be coming in. Also great for sponsors, if you know, a thank you card. I mean, you know, there's a multitude of ways of applying, you know, the system, as you said. So there's endless possibilities. And the nice thing, as you said, really you're working within a community where you can share some of these ideas and some of the uniqueness, if you will. Let's talk about, obviously, I'm assuming as most of these types of programs work, there's usually some sort of a free version and there's also a paid version. Talk about the cost that's involved in this just a little bit, just a ballpark.
Well, Ted, For $9.80 a month, you can have the send out card system, and that's rather inexpensive. That's a cup of coffee at Starbucks, but
sure.
That's at the retail end. Just to get you the system, being able to send gifts and cards for $10 a month. It's very inexpensive to have all this at your fingertips, and some of the other features of the system that I think adds value is the contact manager, number one, and number two is the calendar reminder. You can, as you input your contacts, you can put important dates in there to remember, like birthdays and holidays or what have you. And if you look on your calendar each morning, it'll give you people's upcoming birthdays 2 weeks in advance. So just the value in not forgetting somebody's birthday is priceless. You know, that's one of the features of the system is that calendar and contact manager. It's more than just being able to send cards. For $10 a month, you can use this system at the lowest end to get involved with it.
Right, and you know, the other thing too is, and I know this from my own personal experience, you know, a lot of times when we go to the post box to see what mail or the mailbox, you know, it's usually filled with a lot of junk mail and bills and so forth. So it's kind of nice and refreshing to get something, especially a nice thank you card from somebody that either a business or a personal relationship with. So there's a lot of, again, it goes down to, it real boils down to Brian's personalities. I think society has changed so much that everything is done through social media, and that's really the only interaction. And I can certainly understand from a time standpoint into the business world for people to handwrite every single card. That would be very difficult in today's society, but certainly the process that you're talking about, you know, take 2 or 3 minutes to send one card out, and if you're doing to multiple recipients, you know, again, 2 or 3 minutes, maybe 5 minutes at the tops, and you could literally send out thank yous or, you know, upcoming events or notifications or what have you to literally possibly thousands of people at one. It's a very versatile tool, and because it is flexible, as you indicate, with taking photos and so forth, it's business.
A little bit. Can you hear me? Can you still hear me?
Yeah, I've got you now. Yep.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, Ted.
Yeah, I was saying, sorry about
that. No, go ahead.
No, what I was going to say is obviously there's a lot of application to it, and I think that that's something that we need to you know, to build on. I think it's a great tool. And you've been using this now for, well, at least I know for a year, because it was about a year or so ago when you sent out the card to me, correct?
Yeah, I've been using it since, I think, 2009 when I was introduced to it. And, you know, the send out card system and my iPhone are my two best marketing tools that I have these days. I don't think I could... I don't know how I did it without it, but I'm so glad I found the system. It's really added value to what I do as a golf professional.
And that's something, as I said earlier, Brian, that really has, I think, has to change. I think that professionals have to find ways of not just reaching out and looking for new business, but also showing appreciation for existing clients as well. And I think this is great. And I appreciate you sharing it with us.
Sure, Ted. My pleasure.
And if you want to get more information on this, Brian, where can they go and how can go about it?
Here's a website you can go to, www.sendoutcards.com/70341. That'll connect you to me. And if you go to that site, it's an actual gift account site where somebody can try the system for free and send a couple cards. It won't cost them anything. And if they find a use for it, they can sign up right from that website. So it's worth at least trying out on that gift account site, Ted.
Sounds good. And Brian, just to let the folks know sort of essentially how it works as far as once you've selected what you want to have on the card and that, does it go directly to the recipient or does it come via you first and then go out and then you send it from there? Or how does it work?
No, well, Send Out Cards is in Salt Lake City. Once you create the card on your computer, it'll be created out in Salt Lake City and shipped from Salt Lake City. It comes in the mail with a stamp on it. It looks just like a regular letter. And you never have to touch it yourself, and you can add a gift to it if you'd like. So within a few days, your recipient will receive it just like any other piece of mail in the mailbox.
Perfect. Thank you, Brian. As always, it's appreciate coming on the program and that. Brian, I just wanted to take a few moments just to get your thoughts on a few things here, if you don't mind, if you got some time to stick around for a few more minutes.
Yeah, I'd love to, Ted.
Your thoughts. I asked David, my guest beforehand, I asked him some his thoughts on the Ryder Cup. What are your thoughts on this past Ryder Cup?
You know what? It was disappointing to see the Americans lose again, but it's hard for me to actually root against the Europeans so much. There's so many great players on that team, and we spend all year actually rooting for a lot of them in our tournaments that we see. So I just enjoy the golf of it now. There's so much great golf going on in that Ryder Cup, and unfortunately, we lost, but the European team is pretty strong, and they played great, and they deserve to win.
Do you think, Brian, again to get a little further thought, that there's a different? Obviously, we know that the players, regardless of which side they're playing on, certainly are of the highest caliber. But do you think that there's some truth to what you hear about a difference in the teams? For instance, on the European team, there tends to be more of an interpersonal relationships between the players, more camaraderie, if you will, and a lot of people theorize that maybe is a little more lacking here in the U.S. Just because the players tend to be more individual and don't the regular tournaments each week. Do you think there's some truth to that, maybe a little bit, that may be what's keeping the U.S. from gaining traction again, or do you have any other thoughts?
No, I tend to agree with that, Ted. I think probably over in Europe, the players play together more, and also they probably hang out together more and have a good time together. They're probably used to being around each other a lot more and playing in that team atmosphere, so to speak, whereas over here in the States, it's more individual type of play, and I think that really shows up in the four ball and the alternate shot formats over there. I just think they're probably used to hanging out together, and then when a team event comes around, they're just used to pulling for each other a little bit more and having a good time a little bit more. You know, I mean, I think maybe we take it a little bit too seriously, and they're having a little bit more fun, and their competitive just come out, and they're doing a good job. Whatever they're doing, they're doing a good job of it, because we're having a hard time getting that cup back.
Yeah, it's been a tough few Ryder Cups for sure. You know, Brian, the other thing that I've thought about here is a little bit, and I mentioned this earlier in the program with David. You know, there's obviously been a lot of criticism against Tom Watts and that, and I have a little different theory than some of what I've heard. You know, everybody sort of goes for the obvious. Well, they should have matched so and so against this person. That, you know, it's really, in my opinion, it's a crapshoot because you know, a player can play on the PGA Tour this week and win the tournament next week. He can finish last. So, you know, anybody can be on their game this week and off their game next week. So I don't think really that's really as big of an issue as what's made to be, in my opinion, with some of the media. But I have a theory of my own. I don't know if it's right or not, but I mentioned this earlier. I would like to get your thoughts. And you don't have to agree, but let me know what you think on this. There's different personalities, I think, whether it be in business or even in golf here. And I think that as much as Tom and some of the others that have captained before him, phenomenal players, their records speak for themselves, I think there may be a missing element of true leadership. And I'll give you an example. When you look back at Seve Ballesteros was a phenomenal player, but he was also a very effective motivator and a very effective leader. And I just wonder that if with some of the leaders, and I exclude Paul Azinger because he seemed to have that characteristic as well, but some of the more recent captains are certainly phenomenal players, but maybe they didn't have that sort of motivating factor, if you will. In other words, not everybody's going to be the CEO of a company. Somebody has to be the worker, and somebody has to be the leader. I wonder if there's some truth to that. Do you think that maybe there's not some of the captain's picks are just not motivators. What do you think about that?
Well, I'll tell you, Ted, if Tom Watson was my captain on the Ryder Cup team, I'd be pretty pumped about having him represent me as a captain. I'll tell you that. I don't know how the other players on the tour felt, but that would do it for me. You know, I see where you're coming from with Seve. Seve could motivate anybody, and I think at the time when he came along, you know, the Europeans were really hungry to make a name for themselves, you know, competing over here, and then the Ryder Cup actually gave them another avenue to show off their skills, and Seve knew he was growing golf over there also, and he knew if they could beat the Americans, you know, it would do so much for their golf over there. And I think that spurred on everybody also. Whether or not Paul Azinger is the guy that the troops will rally around, it remains to be seen. I'm sure Paul would make a great Ryder Cup captain, and he's a fiery type of guy. And you know what? It might pay off. But I really think at this point, I think the motivation is going to come from getting beat so much. Okay, it's our time to say, all right, enough is enough. Let's get going here. And you know, these players ought to be able to motivate themselves out of their own pride to get that cup back. You know, and I think that's where we're at right now. Enough is enough. Let's go rally the troops and let's go do it.
Yeah, and there's a lot of truth to that too as well, Brian. And I think the other thing is, you know, as most people know that have followed the Ryder Cup for many years, obviously the U.S. was very dominant early on in the Ryder Cup for a long time. In fact, Europe was sitting on their heels for many of the Ryder Cups, and suddenly they were able to turn it around. I think there's a couple of factors there as well. I think number one, caliber of player coming out of Europe now is much stronger than it was, say, 10, 15, 20 years ago. So there's that factor to take in. And I think the fact that because they were, you know, behind so much compared to, you know, a lot of the guys here on the PGA Tour, there was a certain motivation factor there as well. I think, like you just said, I think that's what the U.S. is going to have to do here. I think it's going to be enough is enough and time that we need to get out there and really fight for this thing.
That's right. That's right. I think the motivation is building. Each year we don't win that cup. And then, you know, what I really enjoyed was the new guys on the team this year, you know, Patrick Reed and Walker. Yep. And those guys, they were fired up, and they're going to be an asset for us in the next one. Hopefully they'll be on the team. But I can see those guys being the new fire that we need to get this thing back to the States.
Yep, exactly. And I think there's going to be a lot, you know, I mean, and I don't want to get into a whole analysis of what, because I really don't think that really matters. As I said in the beginning, and I know you know Brian and anybody else that has watched the Ryder Cup, these guys are the best of the best. I mean, they're not getting there you know, because they're a bunch of hackers. These guys are playing in and out with the best players around the world every week against many of the players of us in Europe. So challenging these guys day in, day out, week in, week out. So certainly not it's not a lack of physical ability. I just think that for whatever reason, Europe has just sort of built up momentum over this last Ryder Cup, and that momentum has sort of helped them to ride that wave. But I think once that has been broken, I think once the U.S. sort of turns things around and sort of makes that armor, if you will, I think you'll see things around, and then it's going to be much more. I don't think you'll ever see, you know, a complete domination again necessarily by the U.S., but I think what you'll see is it'll be a much more balanced Ryder Cup where it'll go more back and forth.
I agree, Ted. I agree. There's so much talent out there on both sides of the pond here. And, you know, like I said earlier, it's just a pleasure to watch. Win or lose, you're watching some awesome golf. You know, when Justin Rose was making eight birdies out of 10 holes, that's the first there or whatever. That's just great to watch. And if you're a golfer and a fan of the sport, who wouldn't want to see that if you're rooting for either side? You know, that's just great golf.
Yeah, and that's what I enjoy about it as well. I enjoy watching some great golf. Obviously, I would like to see the U.S. win, but I'm certainly not disappointed that the one. I think it was well deserved. They played well. They fought well, if you will, day in, day out, and certainly it was deserved. And it wasn't really, in my opinion, because of mistakes on the other side. It was just the Europeans, I just think, play better in this particular round of events. So I think, if the U.S. wants to come out swinging next time, no pun intended, but I think they're going to need to really dig deep. They're going to have to say, how bad do we really want? We want bad enough that we're going to get out there, and let's get a united front and do what we need to do to get a job.
Right, I agree.
Again,
totally
here in the U.S.
Right, I agree. We'll get it back. We'll get it
yeah,
back.
I
our
know.
Time's coming. Yeah.
That's true.
I hope.
Brian, I want to thank you for coming on tonight. Always a pleasure. And as I was telling everyone earlier, I kind of took a little bit of a rest here for the last weeks. Just needed to kind of regroup and I was under the weather, so I hadn't been on broadcasting a few weeks now. Going to be starting up some coaches' corners here. I hope you can join in, Brian. But also, we're going to be making changes for next year to make it a little bit more interesting, a little bit more exciting. I'll be sending out emails to everybody here in this, probably this month. And I hope they'll be able to participate again. I certainly always appreciate your thoughts and inputs, and look forward to having you on the program.
Ted, it's always a pleasure to be on your show. I appreciate you having me as a guest, and I look forward to doing it again if you have me. And it's been a great opportunity to talk to you again and answer your questions. And if there's anybody out there that's interested in sending out cards, they can either contact you or get my contact information from you from your website.
Yep.
That was sendoutcards.com. /70341. It's a free gift account. Give it a try, and I'm sure it'll add value to our profession here for anyone.
Yeah, and I agree. And well said, Brian. Brian, much continued success. As I said, I'll have you back here many, many times on the program. Certainly appreciate your thoughts and input, and I appreciate you to the audience tonight.
Thanks again, Ted. Have a good night.
Stay warm in New Jersey.
We will, Ted. We will. Thank you,
all
sir.
Right, everybody. Okay, that was Brian Dobby, PGA professional in West Orange, New Jersey, the Montclair Golf Club. Great guy and just a true professional. And, he raised, I'm just going to take a moment here or two before I wrap up. I'm going to wrap up a little bit earlier tonight than normal. But he raises a valid point, I think, with not just golf professional, but I just think, as we talked about with everybody in general, I think society's gotten to a point where we really fail to show our appreciation for those that we work with day in, day out, especially here in our profession, a lot of our customers and clients. I think it's a great way to show that we appreciate their business, and I know a lot of people text and email and do all that wonderful stuff and keep in touch that way, but I just think that this is a much personal way of handling that task. And as Brian indicated, it really only takes a couple of minutes and to go through the process. Very, very expensive, literally $9-$10 a month to access the system. Which has indicated very truthfully about the cost of a cup of coffee at Starbucks. So that the professionals listening, if you're interested in that, you can certainly get in touch with Brian Dobby. Visit sendoutcards.com. Check out the website first, certainly, and see what it's all about. But I think you'll find that it's a worthwhile business venture to get into. Nothing says thank you like cards. So I want to thank everybody for tuning in tonight. Again, just a short little show to get my feet wet, if you will, back on the program. We'll have some great guests next week on the show, so I hope you'll come back and tune in. And appreciate, as always, to my guests. I want to thank Vic Keller from Arizona that stopped by a little earlier in the program to talk about his cutting tool, Train Your Aim, and you can get more information on that at www.trainyouraim.com. Make sure you check it out, guys. As I said many times, the program, it is a very simple program, but it does work, and it's certainly worthwhile, and for $9.99, you can't go wrong. Pick one up for yourself, and as Chris rolling around here in a couple of months, pick one up for your mate that plays golf. He could probably use the help. So thank you, David, for stopping by, and Brian, thank you always for being on the program and sharing your thoughts and input. Everybody, thanks for tuning in. I'm going to turn off here tonight, but I just want to take one more quick moment just to thank all the listeners all around the world for faithfully tuning in each and every week to Golf Talk Live. Welcome back for listening to me, and I hope you enjoy the show, and I will continue to work at getting more professionals on here and some others in the business on here, some authors and entrepreneurs, and I want to thank those that have been stopping by here throughout this 2014 season. So thank you very much for all your help in making Golf Talk Live a first show. I want to also special thanks to some of the supporters and sponsors of the program, Mr. Jonathan Laird, of course, as I talked about earlier, South Coast Golf Guide. If you're interested in picking up a copy of that, visit southcoastgolfguide.com. Get your copy. If you're interested in advertising, you can, in the booklet, which I strongly recommend, Jonathan at southcoastgolfguide.com is his email address, and you can just note that I referred. And also, I want to thank Meredith Burke. She was 2014 Mrs. South Carolina, as well as a top professional golfer in her field, Myrtle Beach area, and she just actually went into the Mrs. USA competition back in August. No, she didn't win, unfortunately, but I'm sure she did very well, and it was a great experience, and she's using that, if you will, to help further her golf efforts as well, and has a great junior program and does a lot of things for golf in the Myrtle Beach area. So thank you, Meredith, for all of your support. And also my two good friends from down under in Australia, Nikki and Tiffany Litherland. Always a pleasure communicating with you guys. And I know that they're going to be coming back here in the U.S. shortly. And I'm going to try and get together with Nikki and get him on the program as well when he gets back here. Also, Mr. Bernie Pinder, the founder and CEO, president, if you will, of Authentic Golf. So I'm the proud owner of one of his custom-made products. Great guy. You can visit AuthenticGolf.com to get more information about getting your customized putter, and great products, very well made. And of course, my buddy over in Ireland, Mr. Peter Doyle, Doyle Golf Solutions. Certainly check him out as well if you're searching online. If for you over in Europe, master club maker, great teaching professional, and just an all-around great guy. And thank you always, Peter, for your support program. And I would be remiss if I didn't thank my good buddy, Mr. Barry Goldstein, great professional of the game, and see the father of Carly Rae Goldstein, who've had in the program a couple times now. And she is a young junior lady that is working her way through LSU, not only as a member of the golf team there, but also getting a solid education at LSU. And sorry, Carly Rae, for the good old thrashing that the Auburn Tigers gave your team last week. But what can I say? Tigers against Tigers, I got to pull for Auburn. But anyways, Carly Rae, I'm sure next time you will do much better. But much continued success for her. And Barry, as always, thank you for your support of the program. Just a reminder that this week we'll be back with Cindy on the Women of Golf show Tuesday morning at 9 a.m. Eastern Time on blogtalkradio.com, and that's Women of Golf. You can go on to their website, type in Women of Golf up in the search key, and you can tune in and listen to Cindy on Tuesday mornings. And other than that, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning into the program. Have a great weekend, everybody, and I will see you here next Thursday, 6 p.m. Central Standard Time, right here on Golf Talk Live. God bless. Have a good weekend, everybody.